Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to teach on Christian philosophy. And the product that we're offering is Christian Philosophy Part 2, as opposed to Part 1, which was basically theological things. Now we're talking about how should a Christian view things in our society, such as abortion is the first thing that I dealt with. Today, I want to start talking about what is a Christian philosophy or way of thinking towards abortion. And I tell you, I know that this is a hot item. And again, I said some of the similar things when I was teaching on homosexuality. I really don't understand how a Christian who claims to love God and believes in the Bible can support abortion. And I can just hear television sets all over the world clicking off and people saying, I can't believe you'd say something like that. But let me just ask you this question. If you were to take what the Bible says and put that up against abortion, how can you say you believe in the Bible and you let the Bible influence you in your decisions and then do something that the Bible clearly says is wrong? And the only way I can come to any reconciliation on that is that most people just don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. They're just believing what they believe because, for one thing, they've been sold a bill of goods. You'll hear people today talk about, well, a woman has a right to choose and nobody should tell me what to do. You don't have the right to murder anyone. And somebody says, well, see, that's the problem. It's not a real person. It's a fetus. Boy, I hate that terminology because what that does, it demeans the child where it's not a living human being. It's some code name that they give it so that we can refer to killing the fetus and not feel guilty about murder. But from the biblical standpoint, a child is a child from the moment of conception. And they aren't just a hunk of tissue. It is a living, viable human being. And I'm going to be giving some stats. I'm going to be talking about this little baby that was born like 18 months after the egg was fertilized. It was put in cold storage, and during Hurricane Katrina, they evacuated and took this embryo that had been fertilized. Or did I say that right? Anyway, an egg that had been fertilized. I guess an embryo is always fertilized. But anyway, they took this fertilized egg and they implanted it later in a woman. And 18 months after the initial conception, a child was born that is alive today and totally healthy. And that shows that that was a human being 18 months before the birth, 9 months before the woman was impregnated with it. It had all of the qualities of a human being. It was a little boy. And anyway, I'm going to be sharing a lot of things with you on this that I think is going to make a difference. First of all, let me just turn to some scriptures in Psalms chapter 139. And I know that when it comes to the abortion issue, a lot of people, they are going to believe what they believe, regardless of what the Bible says, regardless of what I say. And I think that one of the reasons that a lot of people are really so pro-abortion is because it's convenient. It fits their lifestyle. They don't have to be responsible. They don't have to practice control. They go out and they just use abortion as if it is birth control is what it amounts to. As a matter of fact, right before I get into those scriptures, let me just give you some. This is a survey that was done. It's done by the National Right to Life, and it's Lawrence Finer, and Reasons U.S. Women Have Abortions, Quantitative and Qualitative Perspectives. And it was volume 37, number 3, September 2005, on page 110. I'm just showing you that this is not something I hatched up. This was a survey that was done, and it reveals the reasons that women get abortions. And it says here, they feel unready for child responsibility, 25%. In other words, they just don't want the child. They don't feel ready for it. So 25% of all abortions are because people just aren't ready for it. Well, you know what? If you aren't ready to be a parent, you shouldn't have been ready to have sex. You feel that you can't afford the baby. So it's financial reasons, 23%. So that's nearly, that's 48%, nearly 50% of all abortions are done, either because the woman just doesn't feel ready to be a mother or doesn't feel like they have enough money. The third reason is has all the children she wants. Other family responsibilities, 19%. So in other words, this is just totally doesn't want it. Doesn't even feel unprepared or it's not financial reasons. They just don't want it. They just feel like that that's not what they want. So if you add all of that together, that would be 67% of all abortions are done just because you don't feel ready, because you don't feel that you have enough money, or you just flat out don't want it. Relationship problem is another one. Single motherhood, 8% for that. Feels she isn't mature enough, 7% for that. Interference with education, career plans, 4%. Parents, partner, wants an abortion, 1%. Other reasons, 6.5%. Hard cases, mother's health, baby's health, rape or incest is 7%. And actually, this is a very generous survey. Some of you might question this because it's done by National Right to Life, but I've got another survey that I'll be quoting later. And according to the U.S. statistics, this is, I don't have it in front of me right now, so I'm not going to tell you exactly. But anyway, I'll give you the information when we get to it. According to a U.S. Government thing that has established reasons for abortion, according to the official statistics, less than 1% of all abortions are because of rape or incest or the mother's health or the baby's health. You know, this always is kind of, in a sense, if it wasn't such a tragic thing, it would be amusing that they say that the baby's health is in question, so they kill it. Let me ask you, how could you improve the chances of health by killing the child? That is just perverse. And that there's a lot of people that think, well, it has a, you know, the possibility of being a Down syndrome baby. So rather than let it live with Down syndrome, just kill it. I tell you, no person who is alive and whose mother lets you live should have the right for you to just kill another person because you figure that their quality of life isn't sufficient. You know, many of you have heard statements by Sarah Palin, who ran for the vice president of the Republican Party in 2008, and she has a Down syndrome baby. And she says that that baby has been such a blessing to them. He is so full of life. He's given them a lot of love. And for somebody to say that his life isn't valuable enough, it's terrible. And I guarantee you, Sarah Palin and a lot of other people would disagree with your assessment and evaluation of things just because they aren't completely like you. For you to say that they don't have the right to life, that's wrong. And so even if you take the 1% that come because of the health of the mother, the health of the baby, which means that you just don't value their life as being important enough, so you end it, terminate it for them, or rape or incest, even if you took those hard cases, which even people who are anti-abortion will sometimes make an exception for the life of the mother and other things, if you took that out, 99% of all abortions are done basically for convenience sake. And the only reason that I can even comprehend that people do that is because they don't know the facts. I'm going to give you a lot of facts up front. I'm going to start from Scripture and I'm going to share Scripture with you. But eventually I'm going to give you a lot of statistical facts and proof that will show that a child is a human being at the moment of conception. I'm going to show it from the Word and also from statistics. And the only way I can even begin to reconcile how a quote unquote Christian could justify abortion is for them to have bought into the lie that a child isn't truly alive, isn't truly a person until they're born and outside of the womb. Now, if a person was just to bury their head in the sand like an ostrich and just ignore all of the facts and the proof to the contrary, and if you accepted that a baby in the womb isn't really human until they are alive and outside of the womb, well, then maybe I could understand how you could justify an abortion. But that is contrary to biblical fact. That's contrary to statistical fact. You know, when Roe versus Wade was passed in 1973, they hadn't done any scientific medical studies that had proof that a child was a viable human being with emotions prior to birth outside of the womb. And so in the absence of proof, well, then the liberal court just decided to go ahead and rule that a child inside of the womb has no rights. They aren't human. It was very similar to the Dred Scott case in the 1800s, where they ruled that a black man was just property and had no rights as a human being. And the Supreme Court ruled on that back in the 1800s. Well, the Supreme Court ruled that a child has no rights, and it's a very similar type of travesty and injustice. And they just assumed this. And yet, since that time, since people have made such a grievous mistake, there has been all kinds of scientific research. And again, I'll give you the specifics and we'll show you some graphs and pictures and do things that will help establish this as I go further into this teaching. But now there is proof that babies have emotions, and that when they are stuck with something, they recoil, and they've actually got sonograms of them crying and screaming. There's a movie out called The Silent Scream that documents this very well and shows that a child experiences pain and emotion even in the womb. And now that we have the scientific proof, if there was any justice, if there was any objectivity, I guarantee you they'd reverse that thing, because now the proof shows that a child is a viable person. When you abort a baby, you are killing a live human being. It's murder. It's murder any way you cut it. And I know that there's people saying, well, I disagree. Well, you've got a right to disagree, but I'm not going to agree with you, or we'd both be wrong. I'm telling you that this is what the Bible says, and abortion is murder. And some people are saying, well, you're condemning the women that have had abortions. I'm not trying to condemn you, but I'm trying to say that it's wrong, so that you'll quit doing it, so that you will have an opinion and share it with somebody else and tell them, don't do this. It's the wrong thing. We need to quit murdering children. We need to quit doing this. I'm not trying to condemn you. I've got friends who've had abortions. I've got one friend that's had 3 or 4 abortions, and she knows it's wrong, and she's repented of it, and God loves her, and I love her, and she's a good friend. There's no problems. I'm not mad at her. But she would be the first one to tell you that it was wrong, and that it caused her a lot of psychological, emotional trauma, and it's wrong. Again, I refer back to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I guarantee you, murdering children is a sin. You know, I know the things that I'm saying are offensive to a lot of people, and they think, you can't say things like this. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not trying to hurt people. I'm not trying to slander anybody. I am not out against a single individual. I am just trying to say that, look, this is what the Bible says. Here's what statistics say. From any way you want to cut this, if you would be honest and be fair about this, it is not a matter of a woman's choice. There is not a civilized country on the face of the earth that gives any woman the choice to kill another person. The issue isn't over choice. The issue is over, is that a viable, living human being? And if it is a human being, then you do not have the right to murder anybody. And if you've done it, then you need to face it as sin. You need to repent. You need to turn from it. And you need to turn to the Lord and let God heal you of this. I'm not against you, but I am against the practice. And I want to change your opinion so that you won't do it again. And even if you say, well, it's not a factor with me, I'm past childbearing age, it's no longer an issue with me. Well, you still got an opinion, and you are going to influence somebody with that opinion, and you need to get the right opinion so that you can stop this. We have now killed over 50 million babies since 1973, when Roe versus Wade became legal. And I'll be giving more stats on that later and showing some of these things. 50 million children murdered. And I guarantee you that's wrong. It's just wrong. Again, I refer back to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I guarantee you, murdering children is a sin. Murdering anybody is a sin, but to take somebody as innocent as being in their mother's womb and to have the mother willingly, intentionally kill that child is terrible. All murder is bad, but to murder an innocent child in their mother's womb has to be the worst of all murder. And I can tell that there's people upset with me, but you know what? Galatians 4:16 says, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Show me where I'm wrong in this. The only way you could differ with what I'm saying is if you don't believe that is a real human being. Science has proven it's a real human being. I'll give you some stats. The Bible proves it. I'm going to give you some scriptures right now on this in Psalms chapter 139 and in verse 13. It says, am I reading in the right verse? Yeah, let's start with verse 13. It says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Now here again is the Lord talking about an unborn child while they're still in their mother's womb. And it says that God had covered them while they were in their mother's womb. Talking about an interaction between God and this person who wrote it, which was David. And David is saying that God had covered him in his mother's womb. God didn't have some kind of a relationship with the fetus or with a hunk of flesh. This was a real person, David. And he says in verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect," which would be referring to the fact that he wasn't completely developed. He wasn't outside of the womb. He wasn't a complete human being in the sense that some people define it. He says, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Now, that's a little wordy in the King James, but here's what he's saying, that God knew his substance before it was totally developed, that he had written down in his book all of his members. God had recorded exactly what David was going to look like. He knew his eye color. He knew his hair color. He knew his height. He knew his complexion. The Bible says that David was ruddy, and they aren't sure if that's referring to just a handsome-looking individual or if it was talking about red-skinned or red hair. But anyway, God knew all of those substance. I mean, all of the things, and had written them down, had recorded that. Did you know, just think about this, based on this verse. God had recorded all of these things about him before he was ever born. These over 50 million babies who have been killed in the last 36 years in just the United States alone. All of them had their full potential, their hair color, their eye color, their skin color, their sex, their height, their weight. All of these things were recorded by God. You didn't just abort a hunk of tissue. It wasn't just a matter of your convenience and the fact that you didn't want any children. You didn't feel prepared for them or whatever. You know what? This was a person that God had recorded all of these stats on, had all of these things written out about them, and it's written down in God's book. That person never was given the opportunity to live outside of their mother's womb, but they were a live human being. Over 50 million people in 36 years who have all of these details recorded by God about them were aborted. And you know what? God didn't record this over just a hunk of flesh, over something that hadn't yet had life breathed into it. These are real human beings that have been murdered. And they've been murdered in the name of justice and freedom of choice. And they put this spin on it about, "I'm pro-choice." No, you don't have the choice to kill an infant. That's not a choice. That's just murder. It's wrong. And I'm not saying this trying to hurt anybody, but I'm saying you can't fix the problem until you decide what it is. The problem isn't that you were just inconvenienced and that this was an imposition on you. You know, you should have thought about all those things before you go out and have sex. If you don't want a child, don't have sex, and I guarantee you, you will not get pregnant. You ought to practice a little bit of responsibility rather than using abortion as birth control. That's just wrong. I am not trying to condemn people, but I am trying to condemn that practice. And I'm saying to those of you who have aborted that, you know what, there is forgiveness and God can forgive you. I remember that when I started the pregnancy center helped start the pregnancy center in Colorado Springs, that there was actually a man who came and looked at the movie that we were showing. And he said, "I'm so glad you're doing this." He says, "I was aborted." And I said, "How did you live through this?" And he says, "There were twins," and he was like 50 years old. And this is, you know, a long, long time ago. And he said that it was back before they did sonograms. They didn't realize that there were two in there. They killed his brother that came out and honestly didn't realize that there was a second child. And he was kind of just delivered and lived through it. And so they allowed him to live. And he says, "You know what? If it would have been up to my mother, she would have killed me." And he says, "I'm so glad that she didn't wipe my life out. I'm so glad that God gave me the opportunity to live." No living person ought to have the choice of killing a child. That's just not right. That's not something that God has empowered us to do. And that's what abortion is. It is murder. And anyway, I've got a lot more scriptures to share on this. I've got some statistics that we're going to go into and share some things. And I think that this is going to make a profound impact on you. I've got some materials. I'd like to encourage you to listen to our announcer. We've got this album entitled Christian Philosophy Part 2. This teaching on abortion is the third teaching in this album entitled Christian Philosophy Part 2. So listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today to get the materials and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 2 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1062C or DVD album T1062D when you contact us. The supplemental material Andrew mentioned will also be included with each album. The third teaching in the CD album titled Abortion is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP9C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled The Believer's Authority is available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I felt in my heart that as I was sharing there towards the end of our program today that there's some people that have had an abortion, and either you didn't realize these truths that I was talking about, or maybe you just went ahead and did it. But now you realize that you were wrong. And you know what? We love you, and God loves you, and God wants to forgive and restore you and help you to deal with that and get over it. And we've got people that will not only give you these materials that I've advertised, but they will also pray with you. There are people that will love you. Nobody's going to condemn you. They're here to help you I'd like to encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen, request the materials, but also request prayer.
Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our ministers' conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs, and I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers. Mm-hmm. Whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever, we really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational, where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time, so make plans to join us the first week of October, right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our ministers' conference.
And we'll see you there.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs this week for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. And in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar, December 31st through January 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
You know, there are going to be a lot of people who don't care what I'm saying, and there's going to be a backlash to this. And I'd like to just ask those of you who are in agreement that you embrace this and you recognize that I'm saying it in love. I'm trying to help people. And if you bear witness with this, I'd like to encourage you to contact us. You know, even just a call or a visit on the website would be encouraging, because we'll get the other. We'll get the negative comments. And also, I'd like to encourage you to help support this. There needs to be somebody standing up and raising up a standard and speaking out against ungodliness. And to the best of my ability, I'm doing that. You know, I'm not doing it perfectly, but I'm doing it to the best of my ability. And I'd like to ask those of you who agree to just support it. So please call the number that you see on your screen.
If you're a regular viewer of Gospel Truth, or you've seen our Destiny Stories DVD series, you're familiar with Leland Shores. Leland heard from God, pursued his destiny, graduated from Charis Bible College, and moved to Uganda, Africa, to fulfill the plan of God for his life. This past summer, Leland and his new wife, Carol, returned to Colorado Springs to attend the 2009 Summer Family Bible Conference, where Leland had the honor of speaking before his mentors at CBC.
God has an opinion of us, and He has honored us, but He acknowledged us. He has acknowledged us. He has set us apart. Hallelujah. So that we can boast and glorify Him.
Leland and Carol are back in Uganda and are currently in the process of establishing a Charis Bible College program in that African nation. Be sure and keep them in your prayers as they continue walking in the destiny that God has prepared for them.